Hello everyone, welcome back for another interview. Today I have the pleasure of having Arnulfo Chacho Valdez. He is an investment associate at Backstage Capital, which is a very unique seed stage investing firm. And today we'll be talking a little bit about investing, seed capital, and the process itself. Chacho, welcome to this interview. How are you doing today?
Great, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to do the interview. I really, really appreciate it. And why don't we just go ahead and jump right into the questions. So to get started, why don't you tell me, Backstage Capital is it's a unique seed stage investing firm. So why don't you describe it for me? What makes it unique?
Yeah, absolutely. So Backstage Capital was founded by Arlen Hamilton. And the idea was that it's just a problem, really, that there was not much funding going towards underrepresented, or as we like to call them, underestimated founders. And so the majority of venture dollars went to founders that looked very similar. They were either college dropouts from major Ivy League schools like Harvard or Stanford, and most of them were white men. And so Arlen noticed this problem, and she was also at the same time talking to a lot of founders that were underrepresented and knew that they had great ideas for startups, and then wanted to start a fund that invested exclusively in underrepresented founders. So what makes Backstage particularly unique is that we invest based off of the founder demographic. So any company that we invest in has to have someone on the founding team that's either a woman, a person of color, or an LGBT founder. And the reason it's those three specific demographics is because Arlen identifies with all three of those. And that's really what sets us apart when it comes to a fund, is like the types of founders that we invest in.
Sure. So absolutely. It sounds like the idea of this specific investing firm was, it's a very niche market. So in that regards, when you look at the characteristics of a typical startup profile, if there's such a thing, how would you describe that, the typical startup profile for a Backstage Capital startup?
Yeah, so since we're investing in pre-seed and seed stage companies, these are just obviously really early on, the companies, and we really focus a lot on the founding team. And so do we have the conviction that this founding team is the team to solve whatever problem that they're solving? And so I think like that's one question I certainly ask myself when I'm talking to founders. And then across the board, our founders are very resourceful, and so they're able to do a lot with a little bit. And I think most underrepresented people are that way, just by nature. That's how we've had to survive in the United States. I think like there's this intense curiosity about them as well, and they have this grit about them that helps them get through the really hard ups and downs of being a startup founder. So yeah, we're really looking at like even what they had to do to get to the position that they're at today. Like a good example might be like, how did you get to the meeting today? Well, I had to get childcare for my son or daughter, and then I had to take a Uber to a train station or a Lyft to a train station, and then from there to the subway. I mean, just like being very like resourceful and showing that you can like solve problems when the answer isn't really like directly there in front of you. These are all like kind of different types of characteristics I would say that our founders have.
Something that I'm sensing from that response that you just answered is that you go a little bit deeper than the surface business plan that you might have in front of you. So you're looking at maybe other characteristics that might be on that you might be able to identify, or looking for those other factors that you might consider in your decision-making process.
other factors that certainly play a role is what we uncover in the diligence process. We look at different competitors, and we look at the industry in general and the market opportunity as well. And so, like, if we don't think it's going to be, it can be like a really a $1 billion company, then we won't. I mean, yeah, we're hesitant to invest, I should say. So it has to be like, we have like a fiduciary responsibility to our LPs to return the fund and more. And so we want to, when we're placing our bets, making sure that we're placing them in companies that have high probability to return our funds. And so I think that that's something that we consider as well. Outside of the founders, we consider like the product that they have, the market, and then, but it's heavily focused on the team, I would say. And most early stage investors would probably agree in that regard when it comes to funding good companies, especially really early on. The businesses can change, and companies end up pivoting. And so like the first idea might not be the idea that ends up coming to play, because as they're growing and building and learning, they're like, they can adjust accordingly. But it comes down to the founders making those decisions.
From a venture capital standpoint, what makes a startup stand out from the crowd when seeking investment funds?
It's a good question. I think a lot of these things that we've touched on, when it comes to like the founders themselves having sort of like disproportionate knowledge in a specific industry, maybe they worked in the industry for a long period of time, or they were working in the industry and they found a problem and now they're solving that problem that they just came about organically, is something that I think is interesting. You can certainly start a startup by just like brainstorming and trying to come up with like an idea, but I'm always fascinated by folks that are solving problems that are true to themselves, like that they're building a product or service that they would be a customer of. And then other stuff that stands out, like what they've done to kind of test the initial product market fit. Like one of our founders went out and surveyed like hundreds of people outside of a stadium for his startup. And so like those are different things that like I think are necessary in order to be successful, and things where I've talked to founders who haven't done that, and they're just kind of like saying, well, we need money to do that. There's a lot of stuff you can do without money. And so seeing that sort of like grit and resourcefulness, as I mentioned earlier, is something that really stands out. And story obviously stands out as well. Being able to communicate your story, and I think that's something that underrepresented founders might have a difficult time with, is like presenting the opportunity to be a large one. I think that we're naturally, and I know at least for myself, like I naturally downplay my abilities or like my skill sets, whereas like I should, like it might not be the best strategy, especially when you're pitching VCs, because you want to paint this big picture, like the train's leaving the station, are you in or not? And it's going to be big. And so I think that's something else that stands out as well.
Sure. And now if we switch gears and look at the opposite, what would you say are some of the red flags about a startup when they're in that situation starting off?
I think one of the bigger red flags is when you're meeting with someone, or when we're meeting with someone and we're asking them questions about themselves and their business, and then they get really defensive. I think that coachability is something that's big, especially early on, because it's a process that takes a village, and that's one of like our core values at Backstage, is that it takes a village. You're going to need help, and we're here to help you, but even if like throughout the process, like the diligence process, if we're asking questions and you suddenly get defensive, it's really telling of you as a founder. I think that's one of the bigger red flags. Another red flag to me is if I ask you who are your competitors and you say we don't have any competitors, I think that is a red flag too, because either you haven't done enough research to find out who your competitors are, or you're naive, or you haven't at least done the work to be like, well, they might not, like, these might not be our direct competitors, but maybe they're like adjacent competitors. And so I think that those are two things that stick out to me.
Sure. I think one of the things you're, I'm sensing from that is this idea of being receptive to somebody else critiquing your business idea, your business plan, and being receptive to that feedback and adjusting for such feedback. Is that correct?
I mean, yeah, it's like if we're asking a lot of questions, it generally means we're interested and we want to learn more. And VCs by nature are curious people. And so I think that if I'm asking a startup like very specific questions, like why did you do this? What was your decision-making process behind this? And if you can sense a sort of like defensiveness, it feels kind of like us versus them, where it's like, no, we're just trying to learn and see to make sure like we're on the same page. And if we're going to be investing, like it's a long relationship. So it's never really fun to work with someone who is super defensive and hostile in that regard.
Sure. Now, talking a little bit about that relationship and looking specifically at the process, can you walk me through the process or the steps that a startup can expect when approaching Backstage Capital seeking funds?
Yeah. So at Backstage, we've historically have had an open application process. And it's been different at different stages of Backstage. So for a while, Backstage was just like Arlen and maybe a team of like a few folks. And at that time, all the decisions on who received funding was primarily through Arlen. And there wasn't really a formal like process when it comes to getting an investment. That has since morphed into this like application process that has a team of people that review applications, which I'm a part of. And then we, from there, rank startups based on a scale of 1 to 5. And then we, like 1 being really 0 to 5, 0 being you don't fit our investment thesis. And then 5 being like we absolutely have to talk to this company. And then we start to narrow down the applications that way. And then we continue to like kind of deliberate as a team when it comes to like which companies we should continue to move down the pipeline to then eventually like interview and usually via Zoom because Backstage is a remote team and a distributed team. And so Zoom would be a good place for us to meet. And then once we meet with you once, we'll come back, talk some more, and then likely we'll want to like dive even deeper. And at that point, there might be like specific people on the team who are either writing an investment memo or who are just like diving deep into your company, reach out personally, and then usually followed by another meeting with the team just for like any sort of final questions. That was the process for like our accelerator. And we had over 1,800 applications and we narrowed it down to 24 companies. And so it's like one of those things that it's a big team effort, but like right now Backstage isn't actively investing, but we plan to be doing so later in the year through our accelerator. So right now, in my opinion, the best strategy is to start building relationships with people that you know influence decisions at Backstage and when it comes to investing, and then knowing that like while like if you need to like close a round in the next month, we're probably not the best firm to talk to. But maybe if you're going to be fundraising again in 3 to 6 or 9 months, we like to build a relationship with the founders we're investing in. And so just a quick example of this is I'm based in Metro Detroit, and one of the first founders I actually met in Detroit, I met him like a year and a half ago or so. And almost 2 years ago, actually, and we just invested in his company, like in the past few months through the accelerator. And so like, you understand that it can be a long process to get investment, or that you might not get an investment. And even if you don't get an investment, it doesn't mean you're a bad company. But we can only invest in so many companies, and we're doing our best to pick the ones that we want to invest in. That makes sense. So that's, I mean, it's a long-winded answer, but as most of my answers are, but the process changes. But right now, it's it'll always be like an open application process with a team of people reviewing it, and then followed by interviews.
Sure. Well, I think you touched on something really important, which is this idea of not necessarily because you're reaching out to an investing firm, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get funding at this specific time, but it doesn't close the door for future funding at a later point.
Right. And I think it's also important. I think from the outside looking in, it could seem like Backstage is rolling in it, but we're certainly not. We have to also fundraise from limited partners or LPs for our funds. And so it's, and that within itself is an extremely difficult process. And so we might not always have the funds to invest in it. We've certainly missed out on great companies that have wanted us on their cap table, but we just didn't have the funds to invest. And so I think that that's also important to understand.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about what is the level of involvement that Backstage Capital has in startups that receive investing funding?
So we have a entire sort of platform where we kind of, that's part of our value add to our portfolio, is we have, for example, a group of mentors that can help any one of our portfolio founders with specific needs. So if a founder comes to us, or if we see maybe an investor update that they need help building out a sales pipeline, we can connect them with an enterprise sales expert who knows how to do that, and then they can connect just based off our network. Then something else we have is a talent base where we vet people who want to apply to work at a Backstage portfolio company. And then our portfolio founders can have that source of potential candidates to work at their companies. And then we always do what we can to help with the fundraising process, helping our founders fundraise and close deals and walking them into firms if we have to. So I think that we've done as much as possible to try to build out this sort of platform. We also have different expert sessions where we have someone come and give a chat, we call them backstage chats to our companies. And it's usually people who have either who are VCs or have built high growth companies and have exited. And so them just talking about their experience and allowing our founders to ask questions, or it could be even around a very specific topic like sales, and they have a quick sales presentation, and then our founders go and can ask questions. And so one of the great things about our mission is that there's so many people who want to help and want to be involved because they really resonate with the mission. And so we've been really blessed to have folks who are more than willing to give up their time and resources to help our portfolio.
Sure, it sounds like you have a very robust support system in addition to the financial support that the startups you're working with have.
Yeah, absolutely. We, in the first 100 companies that we invested in, our average check size was $25,000, which is really kind of an angel check. And so we want that $25,000 check to feel like $1 million check from a bigger fund with resources that we
add. Now, as an associate at Backstage Capital, what are the most important lessons you have learned about investing in startups and on venture capitals?
Yeah, I think a lot of them are very personal to just my own career path and growth, and even my own psyche. So I think a few of the more important lessons I've learned is that a lot of this investing at the early stage is a lot more about people than you think. And so I'm having that understanding. I think before I even tried getting into VC, I was doing research and learning about what's the typical career path and there usually isn't like a quote unquote typical career path for VCs. But in my learnings, I found like a lot of people either got their MBA from Harvard or they said, oh yeah, I was doing math, like college math by the time I was in like eighth grade. And like, there were just like all these things and I was super intimidated. And like that intimidation could have kept me from pursuing it as a career, even though like that intimidation was kind of like ill-founded. And so I think for me personally, having like that confidence in myself has been something that I've learned, and also learning that being like curious is a really good trait, and having that sort of desire to learn and that curiosity meshing with something you're truly passionate about is a great place to be. But like more tactically, when it comes to like investing in startups, just knowing that it's a lot more about people, especially at the early stage, than one might think from the outside looking in.
Sure. And lastly, again, this is a podcast really focused on entrepreneurship and startups. So what advice do you have for entrepreneurs who might be considering venture capital as an option for developing or growing their business concepts?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to understand the full scope of what you're getting yourself into. If you're taking money from a VC, like we expect you to grow as quickly and as fast as possible and as big as possible. And so if you're not, like, if that's not your goal with your company, that might not be a good idea for you to raise VC. And I think that keeping as much as your company as possible is always a good thing. And we actually most of the time discourage founders from raising VC, especially if they can do it on their own without funding. But at the same time, venture capital is a great tool to grow quickly and to scale your company while receiving the resources and the sort of strategic thinking that comes from people, like the group of people you build around yourself when it comes to like raising VC. I think the second thing is, especially early on, really align yourself with people who like you kind of like mesh and sort of like your mission with your VC. You really want to be on the same page. So all that to say, just don't take money just because it's out there. Like just because someone's going to write you a $250,000 check doesn't mean you should take it. Really be thorough in your diligence of the investor the same way they're doing their diligence on you as a founder. There's nothing wrong with asking an investor for reference checks or for if they've been investing, to talk to a few of the founders that they've invested in to really see what they're like post-investment. I think that's a really smart play there.
All right, sounds good. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this interview. Thank you.
Thanks so much.